will be another prayer service. Yeah, if you want to clap, clap. Those that came in our previous prayer service this month, you know that we spent time to pray. And that day, we were talking about snares. Escape from snares. Next week, Wednesday, our team will be wasting the wasters. And that is the 1st of July. Whatever has been programmed to waste you in the second half of this year will be wasted. Amen. So I want to encourage you to come next week, Wednesday, and to invite somebody to come with you. Let's have a very good problem that will be looking for a way to add more seats to the seats that we have. I'm trusting God that in a very short while, if you don't come to fellowship on time, you will stand outside. So, next week, Wednesday, we'll be praying seriously. And to add to that, next week, we begin our mid-year fasting and prayer. I know the president will re-emphasize on that when he comes up for the announcement. But it's starting on Monday. And we'll be meeting every 5 p.m. to pray here throughout next week. But that Wednesday is special for the staff fellowship. It's the 1st of July. And it's our prayer service. What did I say is the topic again? Wasting the waster. Your life will not be wasted. And so come next week Wednesday. Let's pray together. Hallelujah. Today we are going to continue from where we stopped last week. We're looking at stewardship of time. And I did say last week that time is one commodity that God has given to everybody. Everybody, whether you are Nigerian, American, black, white, tall, fair, all of us, God has given us 24 hours. And all of us, God has given us 7 days a week. And everybody has 52 weeks in a year. And everybody has 365 days or 366, as the case may be, in a year. Nobody has more, nobody has less. And we said that time is a measure of life. Whatever your life is today is the investment of your time. How you use your time will determine the outcome of your life. So we encourage ourselves to use our time wisely. And we wrap it up by saying that time is life's currency. That time is what you use to buy life. And everybody is buying something with his time. It only depends on what you are buying. And we ask ourselves, what are you buying with your time? You see, you can use your time to buy trouble if you engage your time doing the wrong things. A lot of persons have used their time to break their homes because they buy the wrong things with their time. And we wrap it up by praying for ourselves that we will not buy the wrong things with our time. We can use our time also to buy what is right. And so what are you really buying with your time? This morning we'll still read the last scripture we read last week Wednesday. So please, media, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Verse 16. Let's read verse 16 together. One, two, go. Redeeming the time, because the days are what? Evil. Father, we want to say thank you. Thank you because the Bible says the entrance of your word giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. I therefore ask that this morning, O God, that your word will give us light, life, and understanding. And everyone that has come here this morning, Father, challenge us by your word. Encourage and, oh God, rebuke us through your word in the name of Jesus. I pray that Heavenly Father, this afternoon, grant me utterance, oh God, that every word that I shall speak, Father, will find expression in our lives. Thank you for answered prayer. If you're together with me, you shout a thunderous amen. Amen. So quickly this afternoon, I want to show us 4 hours to godly time management. 4 hours that will help you and will enhance your time management in such a way that it will bring glory to God. And that is what I want to share with us in the little time that we have very quickly. And the first R I want to discuss with us this morning is relationship. Everybody say relationship. Now, if you want to manage your time godly and in a way that will please God, you have to build a relationship. If you have a relationship with Him, you will not be able to manage your time in a way that will bring glory to His name. Somebody shout hallelujah. All right, the technical are doing very well. Praise the name of the Lord. So relationship is key. So I want you to take that down and I want you to go home with that this afternoon. That the first thing that is demanded if you want to steward your time for God's glory, you need to build a relationship with Him. John chapter 10 and verse 4. John 10:14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Give us NLT. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. So relationship is key. If you don't have a relationship with someone, you will not think of investing your time with that person. It's only someone that you have a relationship with, that you spend time with, and you invest your time in. And so God is saying that I know those I have a relationship with, and those I have a relationship with, they know me. My first question this morning is, do you have a relationship with Him? And if you say yes, does He know you? Do you know Him? That is you having a relationship. Does He know you? That is Him having a relationship with you. You see, you cannot have a relationship with someone who does not have a relationship with you. Because relationship is reciprocal. You can't claim to say, I am in a relationship with this fellow, when the fellow does not know he or she is in a relationship with you. And that's the same thing with our God. A lot of people in church come to church but do not have any relationship with Him. If you don't know Him, you don't have a relationship with Him. The first key to relationship is knowledge. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? I know my own sheep. And my own sheep know me. We can be as many as we can here, but He knows those that have a relationship with Him. And those that have a relationship with Him also know themselves. When it comes to relationship, you cannot pretend about it. Do you really have a relationship with Him? I'm not asking whether you go to church. I'm not asking whether you are a Christian. But what I'm asking this afternoon is, do you have a relationship with Him? And if you do have a relationship with Him, it will take us to the second R this morning that I want to share with us this afternoon. And that second R is revelation. Everybody say revelation. Say it like you mean it. Say revelation. Relationship gives birth to revelation. Every relationship, every true relationship will give birth to revelation. So the relationship we have with Christ, when it is alive and growing, will lead to revelation. This revelation comes as we spend time in His Word. Now, if you don't have a relationship with Him, you will not spend time in His Word. But if you have a relationship with Him, you will always want to relate with Him. You always want to communicate with Him. You always want to stay with Him. And there's no other way we can relate with Him, communicate with Him, and stay with Him except we do that through the pages of His Word. Everyone that is a lover of God is a lover of His Word. You cannot claim to have a relationship with a fellow that you love so very much, and yet you go a whole day, a whole week, and sometimes weeks without having to communicate with that fellow. That relationship has problem. It seriously has problem. If there are people here who are dating, especially first love, okay? Maybe you are in a date, you discover that you want to always spend time with that person. You want to hear the person's voice. You want the person to communicate with you. That is what relationship brings. It brings about intimacy. And intimacy gives birth to revelation. To revelation. So after relationship is revelation. Jeremiah chapter 33 verse 3. Quickly. Let's be a little bit fast. Jeremiah 33 verse 3. He said, ask me and I will tell you remarkable secrets. That's revelation. Remarkable secrets you do not know about things to come. Everyone that builds a relationship with God, genuine relationship, enjoys remarkable secrets. Nothing takes you unawares. Nothing takes you by surprise. Because before they come, the one you are in a relationship with has already whispered it into your ear. I pray for you this morning. As you develop a genuine relationship with God, you will enjoy his secrets. That is one of the dividends of a relationship. Revelation. 1 Chronicles chapter 12 verse 32. 1 Chronicles 12 32. 1 Chronicles 12 32. He's talking about the children of Issachar. He said from the tribe of Issachar, there were 200 leaders of the tribe with their relatives. All these men understood the signs of the times and knew the best course for Israel to take. They had understanding of the time. That is discernment. A lot of people pray for discernment, but you see, discernment is so easy when you have relationship. You see, of the tribe of Issachar, all the men, they understood the time. They knew exactly what Israel ought to do. Why? Because they had a relationship with him. Every relationship gives birth to discernment. It gives birth to revelation. You cannot be stalked. You cannot just waste your time. There are a lot of people wasting time in relationships that God has asked them to leave long ago. But because they do not understand the times, they cannot discern what God is saying, they are stuck in it. They are stuck in it. There are people in a lot of things making a mess of their time when God is saying something different to them. God is saying move on. God is saying advance. God is saying take the next step. But because they cannot discern the voice of God, they cannot discern what God is saying at that material time, they stay there. They stay at that same point. And they are crying and wailing and shouting and doing all manner of things. And God has said, I have moved. Son, can you move? Daughter, can you move? Relationship gives birth to revelation. When your relationship with God is truly genuine, it gives you revelation. And there are three things that this revelation will bring to you. Three things. Everybody, this one is universal. Aside from your specific revelation that it will bring. But there are three revelations that relationship will give birth to. Three revelations. And the first one is that if you have a genuine relationship with God, it will reveal God's purpose for your life. Everybody say purpose. That's what the first revelation that relationship with God brings. It brings his purpose. It reveals his purpose. And someone said, where purpose is not understood, abuse is inevitable. A lot of people abuse their time, their resources, their talent because they do not understand God's purpose. Revelation chapter 4 verse 11 tells us that we are created to give God pleasure. We are created to bring pleasure to him. That is the universal purpose of God for every man. To bring him pleasure. To bring him delight. To please him. To bring God joy. And I ask you, brothers and sisters, is your life bringing him delight? Is your life pleasing God? The investment of your time, does it bring joy to him? Give us KJV, please. Revelation 4:11. Does it bring joy to him? Does it please God? Are you living for his pleasure, or you're living to please yourself? Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are, and for thy pleasure they are created. Is the investment of your time bringing pleasure to him? In a 24-hour, how much of your time do you really use to focus with God? To bring him pleasure. What you do with your time when no one is there, what you do with your time, does it bring God pleasure or does it bring him pain? It is important that you understand that God created you to give him pleasure. And everyone that has a relationship with him, the first revelation he will have is the revelation of purpose. What am I living for? Why was I created? Why did God bring me to Federal Medical Center, Kefi? Why am I in this department? Why am I in this city at a time like this? Revelation will always give birth to purpose. The first thing God reveals to those that have a relationship with him is purpose. And the second thing he reveals to those that have a relationship with him is his priority. Is his priority. What is the priority of God? Everyone that has a relationship with him will ask himself, what does God value most? That's the second revelation every believer should ask for, should seek for, should long for. The revelation of the priority of God. The priority of God. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33 tells us. It says, seek ye first. That is priority. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek ye first. Priority is placing first things first. When you wake up in the morning, who do you seek first? When you are in trouble, who do you seek first? Who do you call first? When you have a challenge in your home, in your marriage, in your business place, at your workplace, who is the first person you run to? It shows who is your priority. Even when you are sick, before you call the doctors, before you run to the hospital, do you seek the face of God? It shows where your priority lies. When you are blessed by God, what do you do with your offerings? Where do you sink your money more? What is the first thing that comes into your mind? It's a revelation of your priority. It's a revelation of your priority. So those that have a relationship with him, the second revelation they have from God is a revelation of the priority of God for their lives. What is God's priority for my life? What is the priority of God for his kingdom? So that I can invest my time into God's priority. Hear me, friends. God does not want to come number two. He doesn't want to come number three. If he is not number one, then he is not in your life. If he's not number one, then he's not part of your business. It's either he is number one or he's not there at all. Seek first his kingdom. And the third revelation a man has when you have a relationship with him is that he reveals his plan. So three revelations: purpose, priority, and plan. God has a plan for everyone. God has a plan for every man. God has a plan for every boy. God has a plan for every girl. God has a plan for every church. God has a plan for every city. He has a plan. Jeremiah 29:11 NLT. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us, he said, I know the plans I have for you. He said, for I know The plans I have for you, says the Lord, they are plans of good and not of disaster, to give you a future and a hope. I want you to talk to yourself. God has a plan for me. I can't hear you very well. Say, God has a plan for me. No matter what is happening now, around my life and in our nation, God has a plan for me. If you believe God has a plan for you, shout hallelujah. He said, I know the plans I have for you. So any man that has a relationship with him, that relationship will take him to revelation. And there are three key revelations. God will reveal his purpose, God will reveal his priority, and God will reveal his what? His plan. You see, most times in life, even believers make their plans and then they invite God to endorse them. God does not work that way. It's either it's his plan or he's not part of the plan. It's either it's his plan or he's absolutely not part of the plan. So, when making your plans, consult him first. That, Lord, what is your plan for me? A lot of people, even in marriage, especially those who are single, they first of all go and do their scouting and then bring those they have scouted to God. Say, God, you see this 1, 2, 3. One of it must be of you. So God becomes our errand boy. But you see, if you truly have a relationship with him, he will always reveal his plan for every step of your life. May I pray for somebody here? You will not miss the plan of God for your life. You will not miss the purpose of God for your life. And you will not miss the priority of God for your life. After revelation, the next hour quickly is reflection. Reflection. When God reveals his purpose, his priority, and his plan, God expects you to reflect on them. So revelation leads to reflection. Reflection directs us to make the right decision and empowers us to follow through on those decisions. Reflection is what the Bible calls meditation. Meditation. Reflection is a key to transformation. Nobody gets transformed without reflection. Remember the story of the prodigal son, right? The Bible says after he has squandered everything and he was messing up with his life, you see, one day he sat down, came back to his senses. Tap somebody by your side. Tell the person, you need to come back to your senses. He said he came back to his senses and said, how many people are in my father's house eating very well, even though they are servants, and I am here eating with pigs? He said, I will arise and go back to my father. That's the power of reflection. That's the power of reflection. I used to have a niece. Now she's a big lady and married. When she was schooling in the university, she was staying with me. She was not a serious believer then. And every time I say, let's pray, and you are worshiping, and then you want to share the word, she would just say, hi, brother, I have one problem. That is why I don't like going to church. Because every time I start worshiping like this and reading the word of God, everything I have done will just start appearing before me. You see, some people don't want to go deep with God because they are not ready to let go of their shady lives. Because when you come to light, everything done in the darkness will just stand before you. So, reflection will help you to make informed decision, the right choice to take, the right decision to make when you have understood the purpose, the priority, and the plan of God for your life. You don't just follow the crowd. You don't just go where others are going. You don't just do what others are doing. You don't just participate in what others are participating. You don't just sit where others are sitting. You don't just follow everybody, do whatever they are doing. Why? Because you have the understanding of what God has for you. As we round up, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Philippians 4, verse 8. Our time is fast spent and I don't want to keep us longer. 4, 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, what should you do? Say it like you mean it. Think on these things. Reflect on these things. Meditate on these things. Chew them over and over inside of you. All that is listed there. Think on these things. How much time do you spend thinking on the word? How much time do you spend reflecting on the word? The psalmist said, I will meditate in your word all night. It is meditation that brings the honey from the word of God. Paul said, think on these things. And then finally, after meditation is redemption. After meditation is redemption. That is the only time you can redeem your time. That is the only time you can apportion your time properly. We wrap up with this last scripture. Colossians chapter 4 verse 5. NLT. It says, live wisely among those who are not believers. Make the most of every opportunity. Live wisely among those that are not believers. Make the most of every opportunity. If you truly understand God's purpose, God's priority, and you understand God's plan for your life, then you take advantage of every opportunity that comes your way. And what are the opportunities that come our way? There are three of them. The first one is that you start living your life in the light of spiritual realities. Number two, you start seizing every ministry opportunity. And number four, you take advantage of every opportunity to carry out the Great Commission. Or number three, every opportunity to witness. Every opportunity to share the gospel. I want to challenge us this afternoon. When was the last time you just sat with somebody and shared the gospel with? When was the last time in your office you called a fellow and shared the gospel with? When was the last time you rebuked somebody who is even a fellow believer because he is going the contrary way in the midst of unbelievers? Sometimes I'm ashamed of believers when I see believers sitting down arguing the things of the church in the midst of unbelievers. It shows that we don't even understand what God is doing with us and in us and through us. You see believers arguing about tithe in the midst of unbelievers. You see believers arguing about giving in the midst of unbelievers. You see believers talking down of men of God in the midst of unbelievers. You see believers sitting down with their colleagues that are not believers and they start arguing and rationalizing the word of God. And I ask you, when was the last time you saw somebody from the other faith coming to argue their book with you? Coming to argue about their rabbis? When was the last time? When was the last time you heard them drag things from their places of worship, come to the office, and then they sit down with their colleagues and they're arguing about them? Then why must it be believers? We waste the time we are supposed to invest in winning souls for Christ. We are even pushing them further away from Him. Because we bring our dirty linens and wash them all over in our offices. And when they look at us, they look at us as people that are not serious. And then we come back and gather together and we clap our hands. And they look at us as people that are deceiving themselves. Brothers and sisters, I want to challenge us today. Invest your time in propagating the word of God. That time you spend arguing, you can tell somebody Jesus loves you and that settles it. And you move on and allow God to take it over from there. Because just a word from your mouth is enough for God to seize that opportunity and start ministering to that fellow. Take advantage of every opportunity.
to say the word of God to somebody. Bow your heads as we pray.